Well, good afternoon, everyone. Hope everybody's doing well. Everybody have a good lunch? Yes, two of you had a good lunch. We'll pray for the rest of you. We had a really good lunch, and so at lunch, I was like, man, this is not fair to have such an amazing lunch and then have to come back and preach. So I'm going to give you the blanks, and we'll just go home. How's that sound? Amen. All right, we'll all go take a nap. Amen. I'm joking. Really, again, let me just say it's been an honor to be here, and man, I'm trusting the Lord will use His Word in all of our lives. I know I'm always challenged, man, to sit and study and read these things about marriage. I want my marriage to continue to grow, and I hope you do too for yours. And so we're going to be back in Acts chapter 18. We're going to continue looking at this power couple of the New Testament, Priscilla and Aquila, and we're going to just be reminded that, man, this is kind of the model, the biblical model that God gives us in the New Testament as they are helpers to the Apostle Paul, and how our marriage is to be a helper to our Apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw in the previous session before lunch that they took that gift of marriage and they actually began to invest that gift of marriage back into the ministry. And as they did that, God actually used their marriage to bring about fruit and fruit that would remain certainly into eternity because of how God used them. And so one of the things we talked about in the first session was that we can invest our marriage in the ministry by enduring hardness, hard things that come into our life and our marriages, hardships. Some of those things may be internal because we brought those into our marriage, but many times there's external influences and circumstances. And as we learn to endure hardship, man, God matures our marriage. We grow through things together, and it actually better equips us for the ministry. And then secondly, we talked about how we can invest our marriage in the ministry by being committed to maturing. And we looked at Acts chapter 18 where Priscilla and Aquila were in Corinth, and they had a year and a half under the Apostle Paul's ministry. And that's a sweet picture of discipleship. It's a sweet picture of maturity. It's also a pretty powerful reminder that God always works through His local church. And if you want your marriage to grow, man, the place to get connected is a local church. And man, there's several local churches represented at this conference. And man, you would do well, if you're not connected, to get connected in one of these churches so that your marriage and your own personal relationship with Christ can grow and increase so that you can be used for the mission. And then thirdly, we saw before lunch that one of the ways we can invest in our marriage in the ministry is by actually engaging in the mission. And what we see in Aquila and Priscilla's life is that they're willing to follow Paul under his leadership to relocate to different places, including Ephesus and other places. We see that they're one of the most nomadic couples in the New Testament. They're always moving. They're always serving. They're always engaged in ministry. That first move from Rome to Corinth probably gave them an understanding that, hey, we can survive this. We can do this. And then as God continued to move and lead, they just continued to go. And I appreciate what Brian said right at the break, man. It doesn't mean that you have to pack up and go on an airplane to the other side of the world. Sometimes going is going to your neighbor, going to community, going to your employees or the people you work with, going to family. It's just being missional where you are. And by the way, if we would do that, if we're just missional where we are, then God will open the doors to get us anywhere else that He wants us to go. And so I'm thankful for that, man. We can be used of God in His mission, and He's kind of counting on us, actually, to be His helpers in this thing called the ministry. And so we got just a couple of more principles that we'll look at this afternoon very quickly, and then we'll be done, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor Brian to close this out. But fourthly, as we look at Priscilla and Aquila, there's a few more characteristics that we see in their marriage that are great principles for our own marriages. And so point number four in your notes is very simply this. We need to learn and invest in the ministry with our marriage by actually becoming proficient in the Scriptures. Our marriage can actually have a huge help in the ministry as we become proficient in the Scriptures. And this portion of Scripture is Acts 18, verses 24 to 28. Remember, Paul has left Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus. And as Paul moves on to Antioch and Galatia and Phrygia, there's ministry opportunity in Ephesus that present itself to Aquila and Priscilla. And so I want you to look at verses 24 to 28. It says, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the Spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And so, man, listen, this is powerful because this guest preacher that showed up in the synagogue, if you will, on that day, man, listen, he was eloquent, he was fervent, he spoke and taught diligently, but listen, he was dispensationally inaccurate, if you will, if that means anything to you around here. He actually was teaching the wrong baptism at the wrong time. He was dispensationally dysfunctional. And listen, this couple in the audience actually heard it, and they were able to actually perceive that, hey man, that brother seems like he loves the Lord, but he didn't know what he's talking about. That may be what your perception of this conference is. I don't know, man, and I'm willing to receive correction for sure. But man, listen, Aquila and Priscilla, they were so proficient enough in the Word of God, they recognized the discrepancy. And listen, you know, let me just make a practical point. Sometimes in ministry, we get caught with people that are eloquent and people that are fervent and people that speak diligently, and yet we're not able to maybe discern past the superficial. I actually remember we were at lunch, Doug Peterson, we were talking about India a little bit. And I actually remember my first mission trip to India. I didn't share this story, but my first mission trip to India, we went and we served with a missionary there. And the missionary's son was our transport throughout the country. He was taking us to the different places. And he was talking about how they just had some American preachers that had come over. And he was talking about the conference that they'd done. And he was like, man, this was just the greatest conference ever. And he was like, man, that guy just preached the woods on fire, man. And of course, you know, we're the next team in. So he's like telling us how great this previous team was. And oh man, this guy was amazing. He was powerful. Such a bold preacher of God's word. He just kept going on and on and on. And I listened to him and I was like, okay, all right, that's awesome, man. Praise God. And then I said, hey, what did he preach? Like, what did he actually say? And he looked at me and he was like, I can't really remember. So he was fervent and he was eloquent and he taught diligently, but you actually didn't get anything that he actually said. And he's the greatest preacher that you've ever heard. Seems to me like you may not be able to discern past the superficial, right? Man, listen, as we grow in our relationship with God and as we mature in the Word of God, one of the things that God will help us actually do is to see past the superficial. And man, listen, you know, eloquence is great, fervency is great, diligence is great, but there has to be a proficiency in Scripture, and we need to have the proficiency to recognize when something isn't biblical, when it isn't dispensationally accurate. And listen, Aquila and Priscilla were so personal, they were personal and loving enough to Apollos that they took him unto them. And can I just say, he was actually willing to receive some instruction. He was humble enough, even as a powerful preacher and teacher, he was humble enough to receive some instruction and correction. So here's the key in our notes. Listen, spiritual maturity in our marriage is actually going to manifest itself in the ministering of God's words to other people. And man, Aquila and Priscilla were right where they were supposed to be. They were in the synagogue just like Paul would do. They were connecting with Jews who had knowledge of God's word already just like Paul would do. And they expounded the word of God more perfectly to those who had ears to hear. That word expound, it just means to expose, right? To reveal, to expose. Luke 24 and verse 27, it says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And in order to expound the scriptures, they had to actually be mature in the scriptures. And what you see is a powerful marriage, a powerful ministry couple that's able to open the Word of God, rightly divide it, and actually address even false doctrine or dispensational inaccuracy. They were mature in the Word of God. And again, it's a beautiful picture for Apollos that he was ready to receive instruction and receive correction and receive the Word of God more perfectly, so much so that after this encounter in verse 27, it says that he was disposed to pass into Achaia. The brethren wrote, exhorting to the disciples to receive him, whom when he was come, he helped them much, which had believed through grace. So now he's not preaching baptism anymore, right? And he mightily convinced the Jews that publicly, showing from the scriptures, that Jesus was Christ. And listen, how it may work out through your marriage is people that you have the privilege of leading to Christ as a couple. People that you have the privilege of discipling as a couple. People that you have the privilege and opportunity to minister to in a local church as a married couple. Listen, God will use your proficiency in Scripture to help other people. And that's the point. That is the point, man. As we mature and we engage in the mission, well, we need proficiency in God's Word. Because God's Word is what does the work. And we can be really good and really fervent and really, man, kind of a big deal. But listen, if there's no substance to it, if there's no actual accuracy to it, it's not going to actually help people. And so the question for all of us is, listen, how is my marriage ministering the Word of God to other people? How's my marriage ministering the Word of God to other people? We actually help Christ in the mission by ministering God's words to other people. I mean, I'll just say it as a pastor. Listen, the greatest discipleship arm of our church, it should be mature married couples who know how to proficiently minister God's word to other people. Not that single people can't disciple, man, but listen, I'm telling you, there's something about husbands and wives that are mature in the Lord that can invest in other people. And what's beautiful about this picture, it wasn't just Apollos alone, or I'm sorry, it wasn't just Aquila alone that was doing the ministering. It was Aquila and Priscilla. They took Apollos unto them. And so even in ministry, these guys are ministering the Word of God together. It's a beautiful picture. Man, and may I just say, again, because your pastor is just one man, it is a blessing in a church to have a plurality of ministers on hand that can take God's word and proficiently minister it to other people. Man, our churches need that. Our pastors, man, pulpit ministry is great. But man, beyond the pulpit, there has to be a consistent administration of God's word in the body. And the way we do that is through mature marriages that can help. Man, you're helping raise spiritual children in your church, and we need spiritual parents to step up to the plate and do their job. And listen, that's all fruit at the judgment seat of Christ to your account. It's all fruit to your account. It actually shows the impact that your marriage can have. And man, I'm thankful we've had the privilege of discipling. My wife and I, we discipled individually for a number of years. As a matter of fact, we believe in life on life discipleship, and all those things are right, and we do that regularly. And this past year, my wife and I had did something a little different. And we said, hey, let's actually disciple a couple, and we're going to disciple them together. As a husband and wife, it was a young couple in our church that God had brought to our area, and I did the premarital counseling, and we were heavily involved in their life with their wedding and all those different things. And after they got married and landed at our church, I was like, man, let's pray about actually being kind of like Aquila and Priscilla with this couple and just see what happens. And man, God was all over that. And it was a beautiful relationship, and we all four met together. And again, I'm not trying to make us a case for one-on-one versus group. I'm not making that case. What I'm saying is, it was really a privilege to be able to do that with my wife, side by side, hand in hand, as we ministered and taught the Word of God to this other couple. It was truly amazing. And the benefit is that now that we're here in the Kansas City area with you, they help watch our kids while they're back home. And so praise God for discipleship, because they were now tasked to watch our sassy little girls for a night. And it was a wonderful help to us to be here. And so thank God for that. I'm just thankful for the opportunity to do that. You know, it for us at least, it was an opportunity. I know my wife is a great disciple maker, and I feel like, you know, I can disciple guys, but to do something like that together, like Priscilla and Aquila, and said, hey, we're going to take this person, we're going to take this couple, we're going to invest heavily together. Man, it was a beautiful thing for us. It was a great opportunity. And so listen, the way our marriages help Christ, and that's your investment principle, is actually by just ministering God's words together to other people. Man, make your marriage matter. Be mature in the scripture. Man, be proficient. Now listen, if you don't have the proficiency, you can get it. But you have to submit to that process of growth yourself. You have to be discipled. And as you have opportunity from that point forward, man, you can take what you've been given and give it back to other people. And here's what's beautiful, man. God just continues to bless Aquila and Priscilla, man. They're helping correct Apollos. They're getting him straightened out, so much so that he is a benefit to the body of Christ. And then through their life and through their marriage, God actually even multiplies ministry, which is your fifth point for study. One of the ways we can invest our marriage in the ministry is actually by multiplying ministry. And here's what's crazy. When you go back to 1 Corinthians 16 and Romans chapter 16, what you find is that Aquila and Priscilla not only reproduced individually, but they actually reproduced corporately. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19. When Paul writes back to the Corinthians, he says, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord." Listen, with the church that is in their house. So now there's a corporate reproduction that God is using Aquila and Priscilla for. Not just individual disciples, but man, they're housing a church, a body of believers in their house. You see that again in Romans 16 and verse 5. As Paul writes back to the Romans, in verse 3 he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." You see, their commitment to ministry had fully bled over and immersed itself in their home. They were so connected to a local church in Corinth and then in Ephesus that now they were able to reproduce that even in their home. So I've made this statement at our church sometimes. Sometimes the garage door in our homes is our worst enemy. Because we want all the ministry to actually happen out there. And yet, man, they opened their home up and actually had ministry happening in their home. There was a church that was hosted in their house. And listen, our homes are a gift from God and they're to be leveraged for the ministry, for His glory, just as much as anything else. As a matter of fact, listen, our homes are actually the proving ground for ministry. This is something we teach our young leaders and we try to help them understand that, listen, if you desire to be in the office of a pastor, you want to be a missionary, you want to be a ministry leader, listen, the place God proves you out first is the home. If you can't lead the home, it's going to be hard for you to lead ministry. As a matter of fact, when we look at these character requirements of a minister found in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Most of these characteristics are based on the relationships that he has in his home with his wife, with his children, and his ability to lead them, right? 1 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 5 says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." And man, we rejoice in guys that want that and desire that. Praise God for that. But listen, there's some requirements. There's some preparation. "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetousness, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care," listen, "of the church of God?" You know, the home is the proving ground of ministry. The first people that we as husbands especially get to lead is our wife, our children. We ought to lead them in the right way, teach them the Word of God, share the gospel with our children, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because God's house will be a reflection of our houses. I mean, our churches are going to be a reflection of our individual homes. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 says, "If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." And what's beautiful about Aquila and Priscilla is, man, they took their home and they said, "God, this is your home. We want you to use it for your glory." And now they got a church in their house. And man, we live in a culture, at least in our city, man, where we come to church, but then we go home and shut the doors. We shut the doors to our neighbors. We shut the door to the people we work with. We shut the doors to the community. Man, our neighborhood is crazy. I mean, we have like no solicitation. You can't even walk down the street without showing up on this thing called the Nextdoor app. Do you guys have Nextdoor app up here? I mean, we got some psychos that live in our neighborhood that all they do is just watch the streets. And if you walk down the street, man, they're taking pictures and posting you on Nextdoor. It's just psycho crazy. If somebody drops off a package and, you know, it's just crazy. Like the mailman, oh, look, no, that guy's legit. You can't go door to door soliciting. You can't go anywhere and do anything. Why? Because we want to just close it off. We don't want anybody or anything getting in our house. And yet God uses our homes for ministry. God uses our houses to teach the Word of God. Man, we disciple people at our kitchen table. Man, our kitchen table probably could tell some stories of the people that we've had in our home, discipling them, teaching them, praying with them, praying for them. We want people in our home. We actually learned early on when we landed in Huntsville, we learned early on, the sooner we can get couples to our house and in our home, the better. And actually, the quicker we got them to our house, the statistically, the chance that they would stick around at our church increased dramatically. And man, people would come to our house, they'd come to church, but then we'd be like, no, you need to come over and we're going to cook out. We're just going to hang out and you're just going to see we're regular people. But in those moments, man, we had key conversations about discipleship and growth and maturity. And people just got to see that, hey, this ain't a Sunday morning show. This is what you guys are kind of all about. And those conversations fostered discipleship relationship and ministry partnerships that, man, our church is benefiting from today. And it's not because of us. It's because of God. But God gave us a home to use for ministry. And we said, man, listen, God, we want you to use it. And we're going to raise our kids and they're going to see by God's grace, their mom and dad love people, even when it's hard, and experience hardships and invest the Word of God in other people. And our daughters are going to see that. And by God's grace, that's going to have an impact on their life because they can see that this is what it's all about. We're trusting God for that. We want God to use our homes. And so, man, we help God by multiplying ministry in our homes. So here's the question. Listen, is my home multiplying the ministry of the local church? I mean, Aquila and Priscilla had access to the church at Corinth. They had access to Paul. They had access to the body. And now through that experience, they actually use their home to reproduce and multiply a church in their own house. What a tremendous blessing. I'm not saying that it has to be a home church planting model. I'm not saying any of those things. What I am saying is let's just give God our homes. Let's give God our homes and trust God for the ministry through our homes. And let's not let the garage door be the thing that separates us. And listen, man, I'm not saying you let the world into your house. But sometimes people need to come to your house and you need to minister to them and you need to sit at the table and have conversations and open the Bible. And that doesn't need to be reserved just for the office at church or just for the coffee shop. A lot can happen in a coffee shop. Thankful for that. But a whole lot can happen in our home. A whole lot can happen in our home. So here's the principle. Listen, my marriage helps Christ when my home is properly positioned. My marriage actually helps Christ when my home is properly positioned. And it begs the question, is our home set up to actually help the ministry or hinder the ministry of the local church? And this is a conversation that we have a lot of times with our leaders. This is a conversation as a pastor when we look at families in our church. Man, I sometimes get concerned because our homes are so jacked up and dysfunctional that we can't even do ministry at church. Because our homes are in a mess, much less reproduce the ministry of Christ in our home. I mean, there's structure that ought to be there. There's discipline that ought to be there. Listen, there's certainly liberty that ought to be there too. How much ministry actually happens in my home? And if your answer to that is no, we go to church to do that, you might be missing the point. I'm thankful, man, that I got a wife that is all about the ministry. And I'm thankful to know that we have a home. We don't have much, man. We got an old home. Did I mention it needed remodeling? Did I mention that earlier? Did you guys pray for us? Can you pray for us? For real. I'm not even joking, because if I don't renovate that kitchen, we're going to have some marital problems. I'm going to be back next year sitting right there listening to Brian or whoever, somebody preach. See, now see, you see how that works, right? There's the amen, finally. Man, we've led people to Christ in our home. Man, we've discipled people in our home. We've ministered to people. We've counseled people. We need to let people see how we handle our kids. I mean, people have been in our home. We've had to discipline our kids. And I've been like, hey, man, we're going to need to take a time out. I got to go upstairs and break out the spanking spoon. Don't pay any attention to the weeping and gnashing of teeth that's about to happen right now. Or maybe do pay attention so that you can take that home and reproduce that in your own home. Amen? You guys do discipline your kids up here, right? Okay, all right, I'll just check it. I'm just making sure. Man, listen. If we're not careful, what we'll do is get isolationists in our home where we don't want any of those nasty sinners coming up in here. And man, we got to be careful. Those sinners need Christ just like we did, right? And listen, Aquila and Priscilla, they had a church in their house because it's a place where ministry can be multiplied. Yeah, I know you go to a church and I get it, but God will multiply that ministry through your home if you make it available for God, if you would invest it into the ministry for His glory. And then the last point, we're done. Man, here's the last thing that we see in Aquila and Priscilla's life. They actually invest their marriage even unto martyrdom. In other words, they give their life completely, wholeheartedly to the very end for the ministry. Look at Romans 16, verses 3 and 4. It says this, Romans 16, verse 4, concerning Priscilla and Aquila. It says, who have for my life, Paul says, for my life, they've laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Man, listen, again, Paul was the key guy, right? He is the apostle to the Gentiles, but all the churches of the Gentiles knew about Priscilla and Aquila. And all of those Gentile churches thanked God for their investment in the ministry with their marriage. And Paul says of that couple himself, he's like, man, listen, for my life, they've laid down their own necks. What does that mean? What does that mean, they laid down their own necks? Well, I think there's a twofold meaning to that, possibly, potentially. We know that the neck is a place that a yoke would be laid, like upon a yoke of oxen. And maybe it means that they're willing to bear Paul's yoke of burden in the ministry. Paul actually used the phrase yoke fellow in Scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. As he goes through all these different guys, he's always thankful for the co-laborers that he has in ministry. In verse 3, he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. And so, man, this idea of bearing a yoke on your neck to bear the burden, maybe that's one of the meanings that Paul actually is implying, that they've laid down their own necks. But it could also be that they're willing to lay down their own necks. In other words, they're willing to be beheaded for Paul's sake. That they actually are willing to trade their lives for Paul's life. Now that's a little bit more significant. You see, Christ gave His life for us, right? We understand that. And in return, the greatest thing that we can give back to Christ is just our life. He's the one that bought it. He gave it to us. Man, we have life in Him. We have forgiveness in Him. We've been quickened by Him. And listen, Aquila and Priscilla, they were just willing to lay it all down for the Lord and for their apostle, the apostle Paul. And I think that's beautiful, man. Scripture tells us a lot about what they did, and there's a lot that the Scripture is silent on. We know that all the Gentile churches rejoiced in how God used their marriage to impact the ministry. And it must have been heroic, because even Paul speaks highly of them. He thanks God for them, and all the Gentile churches thank God for them. And man, what a great testimony of a married couple. And what a great testimony of faithfulness, and what a great testimony of God's goodness and God's grace through a marriage. And listen, I just kind of selfishly, carnally want that for my marriage. I want God to rejoice that, man, we just gave it all back to Him. And man, I want people to rejoice that, man, we're just sold out, and if by some means, in spite of us, God can use us for His glory in the lives of other people. At the end of the day, man, I want God to be glorified through our marriage. We want to be fully committed. And man, we've only been married 25 years. If the Lord tarries, we got a little bit more time. Some of you older saints in the room, man, you're a great testimony to us because you just keep plugging away, man. You're not giving up. Even when you want to give up or even have the conversation, I had this conversation earlier this morning. Even when you think, man, is this it? Are we going to sit around? No! We're just going to keep going. I'm thankful for that. That's what we need. We have to have marriages that are faithful to the end. So here's the key question. We're done, man. Listen, key question is this. Is my marriage fully committed to the mission of Christ? You know, when we get married to our spouse, we make a vow. And part of that vow is, till death do us part. I mean, we're in it till the end. Now the new gen, no offense to the new guys, new generation, God bless you, but like, I did some research on some of y'all's vows, like the newer generation's wedding vows. I had a list of those. Maybe I'll share those tomorrow at church. I don't know. It's pretty ridiculous, actually. It's things like, I promise to love you and like you until I can't anymore, or something like that. It's just really ridiculous, man. It's not all of them are like that, but a lot of them are like that. I'm like, man, that sounds a little less committed than I think the Lord would have us be committed. I'm gonna be with you until I can't stand you, and then I'm out. Okay, no, that's actually not what it's about. Man, we make the vow in marriage till death do us part, and listen, if we make the vow in marriage to our physical spouse, we ought to have the same commitment to our spiritual spouse, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be faithful to the end. He's always faithful to us. We need to be faithful to Him. We need to lay down our necks for our apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be willing to help with our marriage without reservation until we see Christ again. So here's the investment principle, man. My marriage helps Christ. But being faithful to the very end. Let's be faithful. What a wonderful picture we see in Aquila and Priscilla, man. They are the model of marriage and ministry for us in the New Testament. At least for me, I'm convinced of that. God gave these helpers to Paul as a picture of our help to Christ. And as we look through their life, man, they have so many characteristics that we can mirror in our own life. And if we trust God and we walk by faith, listen, God will use our marriages for His glory. And man, when this thing's all said and done and the dust settles and we're hanging out in eternity, we're all going to be like, hey man, that was worth it. It's worth just giving it to the Lord. And it's going to be awesome to see what God does with our marriages. So man, I hope God has given you some things. I hope that's an encouragement to you. And let's pray and we'll finish up there. Father, we love You. Thank You, God, for Your word. Lord, we love You. And I'm so thankful. Lord, as we look again at that couple and see how that You've used them, Lord, there's so many key things we can take away from their life and invest it into our marriages. And so, Lord, I pray that You're glorified in everything that's been said and done. I thank You for this conference. I'm thankful for these people and just the privilege of speaking. And thankful for my wife, man. Thankful for what You blessed me with, for sure, and the ministry that we get to do together. Lord, I pray we stay faithful. Man, for Your honor, for Your glory. And thank You for using us in spite of us. God, we love You. Pray You bless the rest of our time. Give us safe travel as we dismiss. And we ask it all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. Thank you. Love you, man. Thank you, bro.
Thank you, sir.
That's perfect. Oh, no. I want to miss that.